Hello and welcome to our quarterly talking property series, The House View. Together, CBRE's Australia and New Zealand CEO Phil Rowland and Head of Research Samir Chopra investigate what's next for the Australian property sector, the potential disruptors, emerging opportunities, and what's top of mind for the industry's major players. We hope you enjoy their conversation.
Hello, I'm Phil Rowland, and it is great to be back with Samir Chopra for our first edition of the House View for 2025. There's a lot to unpack, including some of the key themes from CBRE's new market outlook report for Australia and New Zealand, where we will highlight the opportunities, risks and challenges in the year ahead. What really stands out to me is the market's growing focus on exceptionalism. And this is an investment theme that you've characterised, Samir, which better describes how we'll continue to see a market divide between strong rent and capital growth in premium, well-located assets and much slower gains elsewhere due to a range of factors. We'll also explore the latest international trends and also what we're seeing locally. And be sure to stay with us until the end of the podcast when Samir and I will be discussing some of our key market predictions. So Samir, let's start off with a global perspective. What are we seeing in other markets? And maybe we start with leasing.
Phil, yeah, look, for office, our US team is calling out three trends for this year. Firstly, you know, occupier sentiment will shift from contraction to stabilization and even expansion as business confidence starts to strengthen. Secondly, you know, we expect many occupiers will opt for renewals. And thirdly, you know, in terms of like prime space, it'll become scarcer due to the slowdown in construction that we've seen. And in fact, the US team thinks vacancy could actually return to its pre-pandemic rate of around sort of 8% by 2027.
Mm. And the US market's now seen a few quarters of positive net absorption. In fact, we recorded a small drop in US office vacancy of around 0.1% in the fourth quarter, a first since the start of the pandemic.
That's quite important development, right? Because as improving US fundamentals play out, I think, you know, that's very good for and very healthy for investor appetite. It's not just the US though. You know, if you look across to the City of London, right at the core, the Central London office market, we're looking for outperformance with around 8% rent growth in that particular market.
Yeah, it's very solid. And interesting, you know, when we look at Asia, had a slightly softer leasing market in 24 after a very solid volumes in recent years, although Japan and India are both poised to drive some increased leasing activity in 2025. So, Samir, let's shift to global trends in logistics. What are we seeing there?
Phil, in logistics, the US team expects robust demand for new warehouses because occupiers are increasingly looking at things like automation and amenities. In Asia Pac, you know, in contrast, we're expecting leasing volumes will be sort of flattish on last year. We think there'll be a lot more sort of renewals and occupiers will look to sort of consolidate into some of their core logistics operations.
Okay, yeah, so encouraging indicators in leasing. So let's touch on some of the investment trends in the US. What's our US team forecasting on cap rate movement?
Phil, so the US team expects, you know, cap rates will decline, but they'll still end up higher than where they were in the previous cycle. So if you look at this year, you know, they're expecting that cap rates will be about 30 bips tighter in logistics, about 24 bips tighter in retail, about 17 bips in multifamily, and about 7 bips in office.
Mm. Okay, well, that looks broadly similar to what you've baked in for Australia, Samir, although I think you're slightly more bullish on office cap rate compression, particularly in the Sydney core.
Yeah, we're slightly more constructive, Phil, on office cap rates for Sydney core, partly because we have tighter vacancy in Sydney core. There's evidence already of rent growth. We've also got assets that are newer vintage, and there's already some, you know, pretty good evidence around high office attendance rates.
Yeah, yeah. And just to round out our discussion on the global outlook, Samir, just tell me, what was the one thing that surprised you from our global 2025 outlook reports?
Phil, it's the supply story. You know, in the US, multifamily supply is expected to be about 74% down on 2021, about 30% below pre-pandemic supply. And, you know, in every sector, in almost every region, new supply is just drying up.
Yeah, no, it's stark and you can see it everywhere. You're absolutely right. Even in hotels, despite, you know, this booming global tourism we're seeing, supply has been drying up and it's increasingly aimed at the premium end. and certainly higher construction costs and interest rates have really driven this thematic in a lot of markets. So just shifting gears for a minute, Samir, that's a good picture around what we're seeing globally. Let's walk through some of our house views for 2025 as they relate to Australia and New Zealand. We opted to use the word exceptionalism in our market outlook report to describe the investment approach for 2025. Let's unpack that a little from a capital and income returns perspective. And I'd also like to dive into whether investors are really more looking to buy or build in this next cycle. So perhaps we can dive into that.
Yeah, Phil. So we expect pockets of exceptionalism around premium assets that are well located. And, you know, in these markets, we think rent and capital value growth could comfortably exceed mid-teens this year. For the remainder of commercial and residential market, we'd expect, you know, rents will be broadly sort of flat to low single digits and capital growth sort of flattish. So you've got this about a quarter of the market that is exceptional and just kind of leaves the rest behind.
Well, we saw this concept of exceptionalism start to build out in 2024. You know, it was certainly evident in the office sector where I think you calculated that the top 20% of buildings saw solid net effective rental growth of at least 10% year over year. But in contrast, about one-fifth of office buildings had net rents decline by at least 5% year over year.
That's right. And you could see it clearly in Sydney, where the core office precinct between King Street and Circular Quay, you know, the main financial district, saw rents accelerating to an average of 8% growth. And that could be repeated again now, you know, next year, the year after, as occupiers scramble to access limited space. Where this concept of exceptionalism, though, is most stark is in residential markets. You know, properties in Sydney, in Melbourne, in Brisbane that already have a high median value have experienced significantly faster growth over the last 10 years compared to their more affordable counterparts. In many cases, you know, this capital value growth for these higher value properties is at twice the rate of their market-wide sort of counterparts. And Phil, talking about a very different type of exceptionalism, we at CBRE had a strong end of the year in 2024.
Yeah, look, you know, as a company we did, and of course, you know, the investment activity across Australia was up, you know, 34% on 23. So some good signals about increasing activity. We saw particularly strong deal flow in office and retail. And the investor base appears to be gaining confidence that we're past peak interest rates, through the bottom of the cycle, and that capital values are now at more attractive levels. And interestingly, our latest Asia-Pacific Investor Intention Survey showed that Sydney and Melbourne are placed number 2 and number 7, respectively, as desired destinations for cross-border investors in APAC as they're keen to pursue these value-add strategies in the region.
Bill, also, you know, just on that CBRE Investor Survey, you know, they continue to highlight that office is now starting to gain traction. You know, industrial and logistics has enduring appeal, but office is starting to pick up. And, you know, within alternatives, our surveys are showing, you know, investors favor healthcare, then data centers, and then private credit. These are the kind of three leading sectors of interest.
Yeah. Well, one other thing to monitor this year will be how the market moves in terms of larger ticket sizes, which brings into question the outlook for cap rates, Samir. So while we all know Australia's lagging in the rate cut cycle, what's the outlook for commercial real estate pricing?
Phil, cap rates, you know, driven by bond yields and the outlook for rent growth. And our latest forecast for Australia has office yields tightening by about 100 bips from now until the end of the decade, led by Sydney and Sydney's core precinct. Logistics super prime yields we think will tighten by about 100 bips and shopping centre by about 60 bips. And that's from early this year until late 2027.
And I presume assets that display these exceptionalism characteristics will be the first movers?
Yeah, look, exceptional assets or those that sort of exhibit this exceptionalism, they're the ones typically in the prime precincts. They're the ones that will move first. We could see about 25 bips of cap rate compression for these assets through the course of this year. I think, you know, Phil, it'll also be a very interesting year for our colleagues in valuations because they're still navigating the tail end of some, you know, valuation decline in the secondary stock. But you've also got some of these exceptional assets that have valuation increasing at an accelerating rate. Tough year for them.
Okay, well, look, before we get into a quick discussion on each of the sectors, I do want to go over this buy versus build investment thesis, which has come under really stark contrast in the last year.
Phil, just to illustrate, right, like there's a 30% gap right now between replacement costs and prices of recently traded stock in the Sydney CBD. For example, you know, replacement costs are around $31,000 a square meter and transacted prices are below $22,000 per square meter. So you've got this about 30% gap, jaws, as I call it, and the jaws are getting even wider when you move away from Sydney CBD, you know, to other locations, and particularly as you move away to other cities.
Yeah, well, you know, rising construction costs, which, by the way, have increased by around 40% since 2020, really continue to put an enormous drag on development returns and feasibility. And so despite some moderation, we've seen a bit of that, costs are going to remain elevated, you know, primarily driven by labour shortages.
Yep, agreed. And, you know, the supply of real estate stock, whether it's retail, office, you know, residential, is suffering from these high construction costs and elevated debt costs. Even in logistics, you know, global trends suggest that new supply will be curtailed off its, you know, recent highs. In residential, Phil, our outlook is this year the supply will be very similar to the levels we'd last seen in 2011.
Yeah, it's amazing. At a time when we need it most.
Yep.
Look, so let's do a quick tour of the outlook across each sector, Samir, starting with logistics. Australia's vacancy is 2.5%, New Zealand's sitting at 1.7%. These continue to be amongst the lowest levels globally. What are we expecting in terms of rent growth?
For logistics, rents paced up a lot. They grew significantly in 22 and 23. Growth rate has slowed now, and for this year, we're forecasting 4% face rent growth. Incentives will also increase. They were 13% last year. We think they get up to 17% this year. So net effective rent growth might be flattish, and then we get a lot more constructive as we head out into 26.
Yeah, and of course, with the tailwinds from e-commerce and of course, the dividend we're getting off population growth and occupier sentiment should hopefully improve as we see some of these rate cuts materialise. Moving to office, there was strong evidence of more staff returning to the office in 2024, but our leasing book was also showing a greater propensity for renewals. Around 60% of our transactions last year were renewals, up from 50% on prior year. So what's the prognosis for rents in office, Samir?
Phil, look, leasing velocity was slow last year. Nonetheless, you know, net effective rents still managed to grow by about 5%. This was partly because you've got this pockets of exceptionalism around Sydney CBD core and Brisbane. This year, we expect, you know, most office submarkets will see at least flat and maybe even low single digits of growth in net rents. But we also forecast that the Sydney CBD and Brisbane CBD should outperform and, you know, could get another set of high single digits of net effective rent growth, high single digits.
Mm. Okay, and in retail, look, despite the challenges from high interest rates and cost of living, occupancy in shopping centres and large format retail is trending to above 95%. So the lack of new supply coupled with this population growth has driven good real estate productivity.
Yeah, and you know, we're expecting low single digit rent growth for shopping centres. The main concern I have this year for shopping centres is the high fit-out costs for retailers, you know, particularly restaurants and luxury goods that might be looking to expand footprint. They've just got this CapEx challenge around fit-out costs.
Yeah. Okay, and in resi, you're forecasting apartment supply will hover around 50,000 apartments in 25, lagging the demand of 75,000 per year.
Yeah, and so you can get more constructive on rents for residential and for student accommodation. Over the next 5 years, you know, expect sort of 5% per annum type rent growth, so 25% in total over 5 years. We also expect that, you know, newly built apartments will sell at a 30% premium to the older vintage counterparts in that same suburb.
Mm. Now, this does highlight why Australian real estate is attractive and why there's currently this buy versus build thematic. Okay, so moving on, let's tackle some predictions for 25, Samir, that we can get a report card on at the end of the year. So hit me with your first one.
Phil, I got the interest rate call wrong last year, but I continue to have a lot of conviction around rates and that rates will fall faster and further than market expectations. Whilst in our models we're using 3 rate cuts, my non-consensus personal call would be for four cuts in 2025.
Always got to have that non-consensus view, Samir. Well, you know, that non-consensus view did get me that bottle of Colerain, which I'm quite happy with. But I know that I'll share that with you, and that I think your prediction for 25 is probably right. So I'll leave it at that.
Phil, my number two prediction would be, you know, we get this cap rate compression going through this year, particularly for exceptional real estate, where we think 10 to 25 bips of cap rate compression is possible. I'd expect that in premium office in Sydney CBD, core market in Brisbane, in prime inner city logistics, you know, regional shopping centers, and even in Sydney and Melbourne student accommodation, 10 to 25 bips of cap rate compression.
Yeah. All right. I think the third one to watch will be whether we get an improvement in leasing velocity in the second half of the year as we cycle past these anticipated interest rate cuts. And, of course, we have a federal election coming up. So you could couple that with an uptick in business confidence and some narrowing opportunities in securing some of this future supply.
Yeah, and, you know, particularly as incentives are still high, I think leasing volumes could bounce back. There is a carrot. The incentives are a carrot for the occupier. And so, you know, maybe we do get these leasing volumes up 5 to 10% in the second half of this year. My fourth prediction, Phil, controversial one, is that, you know, there'll be a lot more sort of pressure for 5 days return to office in some sectors, particularly financial services and government. And, you know, here I'm talking about requirements where, you know, branch staff and essential workers who need to be in person compared to their colleagues in head office. I just wonder through the course of this year if we start to get more parity across these workforce types.
Yep. I think it's a real thing. Look, you know, many organisations have got very diverse workforces, diverse personas. So I think it's a real consideration. I also think, though, that we've turned a corner on the importance of the office. There's really strong conviction now that despite flexible work patterns, the office is a critical central point of an organisation. And this rebalancing that we've been seeing is grounded in the simple fact that organisations and people are more effective when they're physically together. So, you know, we're seeing this and the stance is being taken by organisations, and of course, you know, we're seeing the corresponding visitation numbers come up. All right, so I think that wraps us up. Thank you, Samir, and of course, thank you to our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this latest edition of The House View. You can always send us your feedback and any questions that you might have via talkingproperty@cbre.com. We'll be back with The House View in Q2, so make sure to subscribe to Talking Property so that you don't miss this or any of our fortnightly Talking Property episodes. Until next time.